Good morning, New Eden. Today is October 29th, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout, and today we have, of course, our great co-host, Night Flyer, that is with us today.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning to the show. So, Frozen, we just wrapped up GM week, and as we, during this show, we're going to go through the Galente Kaldari kill boards. You're going to see a lot of big kills on there, and we're going to have to a lot of titans that we don't usually see on this show.
But, yeah.
Direct related to that.
Yeah, there's some pretty crazy top kills that you can see there. What we've got, four titans and two motherships on the top top six kills for the past 7 days, it looks like there.
Yeah, pretty unique for faction warfare, but
yeah. Not normally the kills you see.
These same kills in the Galente screen are going to be the same ones that Kaldari had, so I think everybody was just out for having some fun this week.
Yeah, no, and I missed a lot of it, unfortunately. I've been busy with a lot of Halloween prepping, as it was Halloween weekend, so I went out and some partying until like 4 a.m. in the morning last night, so that was pretty intense. But went to like this underground house party, like crazy thing where they're like selling tickets. And, like, they really did up like the backyard, big bonfire that they had, plus all of these crazy lights and, you know, decorations, like a Kraken, and, like, Hansel and Gretel kind of like wave. We go through the forest in order to get in. It was ridiculously epic, like super cool stuff that they had. Lots of really cool decorations and stuff. But I also went to House on the Rock, actually, has a haunted house tour that they do. And that place is already haunted, so it's pretty intense.
True, yeah. Yeah, we were supposed to get up there this summer. That was something that the wife put on the family list and just never happened. So it'll be on the top of our list for next summer.
Yeah, so today we are going to be doing a Warzone review. So we're going to take a look at the Galente Kaldari Warzone here, kind of see what's been going on. As you can see right now, you know, just kind of giving a little bit of an overlay of all the stuff that's kind of going on. The war lines haven't been moving a lot since pretty much the patch, last year. You know, when they updated with frontline systems, the front lines have kind of held pretty strong. You've got like Iha, you know, holding out here at an easy 6% contested right now. Iha has been actually one really tough nut to crack, and has not been a priority for a lot of Galente alliances and corporations and stuff to take down Iha. But keeping OICX is really important. We actually got it down to 26.4% contested right now. That's huge.
Yeah, that's a big comeback. We've been spending a lot of time up there as a corporation.
Yeah, and WAR and Federation Frontline Report have both been up there. And I know Network as an alliance in general has been kicking a lot of ass in OICX, which has been kind of good.
That's been really great. We've had a couple of new guys come in, and they're just straight-up killers. And it's good to see some of our old-timers coming back. You know, we got Tommy came back, and we'll see him on the kill board later.
Yeah, no, and I mean, this got up to, 80% or something at some point?
Yeah, it was almost going to flip.
Yeah, it was really close to flipping.
Well on pace to flipping.
And then we know that Vivalier is not a frontline system, but there's been a lot of action inside of Vivalier, and we're going to touch base on that. We got Aldernet here, who's at 51.8% contested, being held by the Galente right now. Nenamelia did fall for a short amount of time. What was it, 2 weeks ago? And is back into the Kaldari's hands, and they're holding it down tight. It is a staging ground for them. We didn't get to kick them out. We didn't put them to a front line, or we didn't put them to the back line or command operations, which is required to kick people out of the system so they can't dock in any of the stations or any of the upwell structures or anything like that. So they were able to push back and are holding that down here. Of course, down in the south, the Devon Fleet war is constantly on, and that just is just constantly fighting back and forth. That's happening a lot there. So Devon at 10.9% here, and Fleet is at 44.1%. Glente have a pretty solid advantage inside the system, but Kaldari have been pushing really hard to try and take Fleet. Now, if Fleet does fall, it can never not be a frontline system because of Acti here. Acti. Because of Acti, it will always be a frontline system. It will always be a frontline system if the Kaldari hold it. It can go out of frontline if we would capture Devon. But there's, this has been, like, these areas, like, Nenemelia, Aldrinet, Vivalir, there have been times when, like, this pocket over here, Vivalir, Renarel, Frary, and stuff like, that did fall for a little bit, and then we took it back. This constellation up over here, where you've got the new jump gate, you know, has been taken here, where Richard, and, Athanon, and all of these, like, had been taken by the Galente for a short time in Sedition, and a couple other organizations did a strong push up here, but that has been taken back. I mean, really, this stuff hasn't really moved around a lot in the past year or so. It's moved and then kind of gone back to the old status quo. There was a time, you know, at the very beginning where the Galente didn't own a bunch of systems here, and we've been able to hold that down pretty strong. There was a short amount of time where Mirathan and, like, this back lows and stuff like, that got taken by the Kaldari for a short amount of time when they were, you know, trying to get Haedeles to be a frontline system, or in that Haedeles did fall for, like, a hot second. But it always seems to kind of go back to these original, you know, frontline systems here where a lot of people live. The other one is, of course, Sugerento. There's always fighting that's kind of going up on in this area by Onoto, because Tanilin can always be a frontline system if it's owned by the Kaldari. So there is stuff that can kind of go on here. Sugerento at 49.5%. Arinaco, I think, was just taken by the Galente not too long ago.
Yeah, we took that on Friday, and you can already see Kaldari is already bouncing it back to
20.5.
Yeah, in 2 days. So
yeah, lots of fighting going on there, lots of pushing of plexes. Onoto strongly inside of the Kaldari or the Galente's hands here at 2.8%. So that's just kind of like an overview of the major fighting that's kind of going on. And it has kind of held that the Galente have been able to hold out with about 20 to 30, 40 systems. Sometimes when we get lucky, Kaldari are usually sitting around 60 to 70 to 60. Sometimes they drop down to maybe like 50 or so. For the most part, this if you go back over a lot of our every episode, even if we do a interview, you know, still has this little section here where it shows you what the Galente and Kaldari system ownership is in general, and that's almost always sitting around Galente near 30, Kaldari near 60. Like, yeah, it's just
It doesn't seem to move too far. Like, we just keep swapping systems, but yeah, the general landscape I think stays the same
for the most part, which is kind of nice because things, you know where the fighting is, and you can kind of set yourself up. Like, I mean, the Kaldari set themselves up in Devon, they set themselves up in Sugerento, they set themselves up in Nenemelia, they set themselves up in Iha and OICX. You know, these are their main staging grounds. The Galente are always, you know, setting themselves up so that there's, you know, around Sugerento, or we're in Haedeles, it's like our, you know, HQ for the south, and Vivalir is the, you know, set up for where, you know, people go out of for the north, and yeah, things just kind of stay the same because that's where we live. So we're fighting hard to keep our land. And that's kind of, you know, one of the changes that they made with the new system that they have for faction warfare is that you can get bumped out of your upwell structures. And so only, if it's not a frontline system and it's owned by the enemy, you can't dock even in the upwell structures. So really kind of cool stuff that they, has kind of created like, it's almost like a World War One, I feel like, analogy of like, these are the front lines. There's the no man zone,
we're all. Yeah, you got your trenches. Time. Everyone trenches in and then, you got to fight off from there.
Right, yep. This is really cool. So one of the things that we're going to do, though, is we're going to go a little bit deeper and we're going to take a look at the kill board here. So let's go ahead and start off here with the Galente Federation. So these numbers aren't 100%, this is, there's some gate guns and stuff like that that can interfere with, the Galente getting kills, or our NPC ships shooting, I believe it's just the faction warfare NPC ships when they kill stuff. Maybe police might be involved in that as well, so the numbers aren't 100%, we've talked about this before on the show, it's a good look at a general overview of what the Galente Federation is doing. So we've got 849 characters that are part of that are PvPing, have gotten a PvP kill or loss. So it's possible that somebody shows up on here, and if they're part of the Galente, and they've lost a ship but they didn't kill anybody, that's still part of the stats here. So 849 people who have participated, either being the ones getting blown up or blowing up something, are part of the Galente Federation. Now, that number is pretty solid. That includes people who have enlisted, and anybody who's part of a corporation or alliance, or the NPC corporation that's part of faction warfare. So that number is actually pretty solid, good indicator there. So we're at 849 people that have characters that have participated in one way or another in PvP. We've got 243 corporations. Now that does include enlisted. So these are, these numbers were a lot smaller before enlistment changes. So enlistment really kind of bumped these things up. And then we've got 78 alliances. Once again, this is like a huge jump. If you go back to our episodes where before enlistment, like that number was like 5. There's not a lot of directly enlisted alliances, but of course with enlistment, that kind of bumps up the stats quite a bit here. So there's 265 ships. I want to say that's 265 different ships that are involved in PvP. That sounds like a lot. Like, is there even 265 different ships in EVE? I think there is.
And again, these numbers from this last week are going to be skewed with GM week. People are going to be flying stuff that they would normally not fly.
Yep. And then 300 different systems have been involved in PvP for these don't have to be in the war zone at all. These can be 0.0 systems and stuff like that. 59 different regions that have been involved in PvP that a Galente member has been part of, and a total of 7,746 kills for the last 7 days. So pretty solid here. So Nightfly, you want to take us over the different top 10 characters that we have here?
Absolutely, and a quick shout out to Alice Winfield. Thanks for checking in. I hope you're enjoying the show. Our top killer for the Galente Corporation has been Killer Rasta with 244. Dude's putting in some work there. Laura Serino, 212. The only one of two people that made it over 200 this last, 7 days? 30 days?
Yep, 7 days. Last 7 days.
Yeah, so that's some killing. Number three, Aphrodite Prisk, 177. Priscilina, 161. Danny Leone, 127, tied with Alomar Kelledane with 127. Our boy from Iceland, Kirk Ernook, 125. Good to see you on the
Oh, yeah, Kirk. Man, he is solid. He's the one. Oh, you know what? I don't have my hat with me. Oh, but
oh.
I should have my hat on. That's it. The beautiful hat that he gave me.
We got that, and then the headmaster himself, Young Puke, 120.
Oh, yeah.
Top 10.
One of the best FCs out there. Sedition really, really doing some... I've been seeing a lot of, like, Sedition YouTube shorts recently, and they're doing a really good job. Like, they've got some really good, like, editors out there who are, like, making up some cool videos that you can kind of go check out.
Yeah, it's great to see people stepping up and putting more content out there. We were talking about that pre-show on how we need to work on some better editing, or actually recording, so that we're not just recording our you know, our D-scans and stuff. Drop that stuff, get some good shots in. The guys are putting in some effort, so I, you know, we all appreciate it. Top killers again. Telenium Banium, 119. And wrapping up the top 10 is Rarity for Forco with 118.
And if nice we butcher goal. Any of your names out there, that's you know, get easier to pronounce names.
Yeah, and these numbers are all matching up with Z-Kill. So again, the ESI only puts out certain information, so these numbers are generalities. They're not going to be exacts.
No, yeah, this is not a perfect perfect layout of exactly what's going on out in the world here, but it's the best that we can give you for sure. Alice did ask here, are those numbers now matching up since Z-Kill was down for quite a while? So from my understanding is that Z-Kill will go back and, you know, grab all any kills that happened during that time period. So for example, if you sign into Z-Kill and you give them your API and as soon as you sign up, it's going to go back and go through your backlog and be like, what kills have you had, and slowly upload those. Is it fully up and up to snuff 100%? I'm not sure on whether what happened. I know that it was down for a good long time. What was it, like a day or two or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues. I know EVE Marketplace went out, and there's another one I've been using too, and they were down for a couple days.
Yeah, so whether that has gotten all the backlog that it needs to, not sure on that. I know that I read on a Reddit post that the guy was saying that it had, you know, had something to do with memory or something. I'm not sure exactly. I can't remember. I'd be doing it a disservice to actually say what happened, because I can't remember. So Rockin' Rocket, I like that name. Thank you for first time chat here, so welcome. Says, it's got them all, it just needs to repost them all, which it's doing right now. So it's, you know, in the process. So maybe it doesn't have everything here. So this is also gonna give, that's another, you know, thing that stacks on top of this to make it so these aren't perfect numbers in any way, shape, or form, but they're the best we've got, basically. This is gonna give you the best kind of readout of all of this. So let's take a look, though, at the top 10 corporations. So Jerkosaurus Rex Incorporated is got 1,068 kills. And so I believe that's Sedition, right? Yeah, that's Young Puke and Sedition. Yep, so that's Young Puke's corporation. And of course, they've got one of the bigger corporations. Just to give you like an idea here, they have about like 75 active PvPers in just Jerkosaurus Rex Incorporated. And that's fairly large for a Galente corporation. That's not even just the whole Alliance of Sedition. And just a little bit of a sneak preview, I mean, Sedition altogether has 1,555 kills. So Jerkosaurus Rex Incorporated takes up 1,750 of those kills. So really active corporation, really out there kicking ass, taking names. Federation Frontline Report is not going to be on the top 10 corporations this week because me and Gwen have kind of taken a little bit of a sabbatical, with Halloween, like I was saying before. Lots of stuff going on in real life at this point, so we've taken a back seat and, just kind of been logging on lately. There is lots of great fighting going on. So we've got the Federal Defense Union at 369 kills, Blue Canary at 357 kills, Fleet Pizza Delivery at 345 kills, the Frog Pond at 243 kills, Los Violentos de Kenny at 243 kills, Noir Dot, yes, one of the best mercenary organizations, oldest mercenary organizations in all of EVE Online, really, showing that they can be out there kicking ass, taking names, 222 kills that they've got underneath them. And then Precosis Resurgo at 195, Tempest Legion at 192, and did he say jump?
Maybe. Huh?
188 kills. So Nightfly, you want to take us through the top 10 alliances here?
As you mentioned before, Sedition with 1,552, which is, I think, going to pretty much match the whole rest of the kill board here. But coming in number two is our boys in Network at 356. Of Essence with 348. Fraternity Dot. How'd they get on this?
Because that would be enlistment.
There you go. The Food Network, 194. Dock Workers, 188. Federation Peacekeepers, 128. Razor Alliance, 66. Aideron Robotics, 53. And Brave Collective with 50.
And so you might see that there is a little bit off, because like I'm using my browser to kind of get these up there to give these numbers to you. Nightflyer is using his browser and we're streaming his browser here. So there might be a little bit of a discrepancy between what I say and what you see.
If I try to update my screen, it's going to trash everything.
Yeah, it's just going to cause
problems. I'm just going to
It's totally fine. And, just for our viewers who are watching, you're like, why'd you say that number and it's different than what I see on the screen? And that's going to come from me mainly. What Nightflyer will say will probably be what you see on the screen. That's what he's pulling off. But let's go ahead and take a look at the top 10 ships here. So these are the top 10 ships that are being used by the Galente. I believe this is kills and losses. So these can be ships that get blown up as well, but are being used in PvP by the Galente, either getting blown up or blowing stuff up. We've got the Exterior Navy Issue, number one badass fucking ship out there. It's got 703, I believe that's 703 kills? Could be with loss. I feel like if it was losses, it would be more than what we've got listed all here. But in any case, it's being used quite a bit. One badass ship. If you fit it with blasters, you can just do, over 1,000 damage per second. Definitely one of my favorite ships, especially for plexing. If you get somebody who comes in on you, they're just in a world of pain if you can dual web them, hold them down, and just murder them, face pump a bunch of DPS into them. We've got the Federation Navy Comet at 502. Well-deserved spot. That is lots of frigate PvP happening out there, and the Blaster Comet and Rail Comet are very good, very, very good plexing ships and can get you into a lot of really good PvP while making a very decent amount of disc out there for new players and old players alike. I fly the Comet all the time. The Federation Destroyer. So this is the NPC destroyer that has gotten on to some kills. These are all kills for this one. And I'm pretty sure these are all the kills listed here. if I'm remembering correctly. So the Federation Navy destroyer is, so we know that by looking at this, we can tell that there's a lot of PvP that's happening inside of the small plexus, because that's where the destroyer will be. It will shoot at anybody that's got -5 standings or lower with the Galente, and it'll shoot, of course, anybody that's part of the Kaldari militia. And so that's been able to sneak in a lot of kill mail whoring. You know, it's really efficient at that, because this fucker is not killing anything on its own. It's got an okay tank for the size that it is, but it's definitely not got enough DPS usually to kill somebody off. And then of course the Catalyst Navy issue is next at 307. That is a solid ship. I've really loved that ship since it's come out. As a DPS boat, it's really, really crazy when you put some blasters on there. And it's a fairly decent rail boat as well. It's got a decent amount of hit points, can put out some decent amount of DPS. Very good ship. Then we've got the Federation Frigate. So we know that there's a lot of fighting that is happening inside of the small, the not novices, what are they called now?
Scouts.
I'm old school, so I'm always thinking scout, or I'm thinking always thinking novice, but it's a scout now. So these, we can see that there is a lot of fighting that is going down in scouts. Great place to find 1v1 frigate PvP, whether you're hunting somebody or you're waiting to be hunted. Great place to find 1v1 PvP. Of course, the Imperial Navy Slicer is a great ship, really well used for kiting, and can get out there and do a lot of really good damage. 225 kills there. The Osprey, the Federation Cruiser, so these are the medium plexes, medium, right, would be the cruiser. That would be where, once again, not quite as popular as for PvP as smalls or the scouts, but definitely a place to find some good PvP. It's a little bit harder to find 1v1 in a cruiser size ship, but it definitely happens. I've done it multiple times. Once again, the Exeter Navy issue, I love having that inside of the complex. So there's lots of good fights that you can find there. The Osprey Navy issue at 220. Osprey is a great ship. Very fast, can put in, usually it's rapid light missile launchers, I believe, that people use with that. Great frig killer. And just a nasty long range boat as well. Like that can hit you out quite a distance out, and is used quite often in large fleet and solo PvP quite a bit. So 214 capsules that got on to kill. So these, when it shows a capsule here, what it means is that the guy or person, was in PvP fighting, they got blown up, but they were still on grid or in the area, and whatever ship that they were shooting at also got killed. So they show up on the kill report as a capsule. So that was it. The capsule is not actually doing any damage here. It is just, doing its, it was a ship, got turned into a capsule, and then got onto the kill because the ship died after the person that was shooting it, died. So, and then of course the Federation battle cruiser at 184. So these are the battle cruisers that's the large and open plexes. A little bit less PvP that happens in those areas for the battlecruiser to get on and kill mill whore onto that stuff. But definitely, lots of fights that's happening. And a lot bigger fights, I think, that happen inside of the larges and bigger fights that are happening inside the opens. So the battlecruiser isn't able to, ping and try and kill mill whore on everything right away. It just attacks the first person. Maybe moves on after a little while if there's still something to shoot. So that's a good general overview there of the Galente Federation in the last 7 days, give or take any of the crazy stuff that's going on. with Z-Kill, and of course there's gate guns that kind of interfere with this a little bit. I think police, and as you can see, of course, the plexing ships, definitely the NPCs inside of plexes do show up on the kill. So if it was pirate versus pirate, but one of those pirates had like below -5 standings with the Galente and got shot by the NPC, they would show up on the kill mail as the Galente Federation participated inside of that fight. Same thing would go as if a Kaldari was fighting a pirate and they were inside of a offensive plex and they got shot at by that NPC. There, it's going to show that the Galente Federation had been part of that kill. So, not perfect stats, but once again, the best that we kind of have here. So let's go ahead and take a look over at the Kaldari state. So next up here, so let's just, you know, just kind of looking at some of the number differences here. So just to remind you, we had 851 characters for the Galente. Kaldari have 1,410 PvP participants. These are people who have died and who have killed in the last 7 days. So if they didn't get on any kills, but they were losing ships, they would still show up on this character report here. We do know that the like PvP like focused, it's kind of, I still think it's a little bit in the favor of the Kaldari, but it's a lot closer when you look at like pure PvPers that are out there trying to just kill people and are making money on the side kind of thing, compared to farmers. Galente have a lot less farmers. Our LP is worth less than the Kaldari LP, so it really incentivizes people. They've got Jitta, we've got Dodixi. Jitta's way more popular, and you shouldn't even fucking go to high sec, I say, if you're in faction warfare, unless you're enlisted and you can jump in and out. That's a whole different story, though. But they're, I mean, not quite double, but they are, you know, 75% more people, give or take, you know? Like, that's a lot of people. 1,410 characters on the side of the Kaldari that have participated in some way, shape, or form in the PvP. We've got the 412 corporations, 106 alliances, so, you know, almost double, not quite, but almost double the amount of corporations that are participating on the side of the Kaldari, and, you know, about 25, almost a little bit more than 20 some odd, more alliances that are participating on the side of the Kaldari. They've used a total of 284 different types of ships. They participated in 574 different systems that they've been fighting in. So they're almost double the amount of systems as what we fight in as well. That also, once again, is not constricted to the war zone. That can be stuff that's out there, 0.0 and stuff, people who are enlisted. I do see the Kaldari out in 0.0 a lot more than I do see Galente. Which is kind of nice, because when I do like NPSI roams with like Spectre and stuff, it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about shooting any kind of Galente or anything like that, or missing out on the kill because I can't shoot a Galente. But there is sometimes Kaldari for sure that I run into. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing way that long here? but once again, a listed can kind of fuck with that quite a bit. They've participated in 81 regions. For a total of 1,068 kills, so that is about 2,000, a little bit more than 3,000 more kills that they've had. But if you take into the amount of how much they have character-wise, which is, you know, almost 600 more, a little bit less than that, like 550 more characters that they have, it's a lot. But let's go ahead and jump into the... What are the top 10 characters for the Kaldari?
Their top killer with 158 kills is going to be Trip Kessel something. Number two, Sarja Mara Minor with 156. Sarja
Amar Minor, I think. I see Amar in there.
Sarja Mar Minor. Okay,
it's such a, I'm horrible at spelling. I just saw Amar in there. I'm like, Amar Minor, that's the only thing.
Got Zelix with 124 kills. Cortez Torlin with 117. This should be easy. This is probably one of the easier ones. Lichikoski with 114. Trix, our boy Trix. He's good. Always good for a fight. 113 fighter, kills. Yeah. Exeridium, 110. Shoki Kojisa, 110. Jabo Jazzle, I guess we'll go with that, 106. And Gaglier with 105 kills. Again, sorry if I burned your names, but you guys should have easier sounding names.
Yeah, it's on you, man. Come on.
Oh, I appreciate Trix. Yeah, I know Trix.
There we go, Trix. Yeah, way to go, Trix. You've got a good name. We can easily catch you there. So taking a look at the top 10 corporations that we have here, we have the State Protectorate, the NPC Corporation at 416 kills. So they're, you know, interesting that, you know, their top corporation comparatively to our top corporation is less than half the amount of kills. So that kind of shows you how they've got a lot of numbers, but it's not all concentrated into one group. You know, the Sedition Network, a few others out there, Fliet Pizza Delivery, stuff like that are some of our really big heavy hitters. But they do have some, you know, going down from there, they have some pretty equal numbers here. So the United Kaldari Navy at 365, the Kaldari Colonial Defense Ministry at 302, the Kenshi Shin Katana at 284, Kenshin Dot at 269, Veritas Crusade at 196, the Blazing Phoenix at 196, my whole brain is shut down all of a sudden. Chengshi at 192, Mercenary Arms Inc. at 189, and Black Rabbits at 174.
I do want to point out that their top corporation, State Protector, is the New Bro Corporation. So just logging into the game, that's a corporation they push you into. So that's
Wait a minute. Oh, that's not the. I thought that was the NPC corporation, the for faction warfare. Pretty sure. Double check here.
Yeah, State Protector.
Yes. Pretty sure this is not the New Bro. This is State Protectorate is if you join faction warfare and you don't have a corporation or alliance that you're part of, which you have of course being part of the corporation or alliance, you have to be part of the corporation. But any case, that is the so it's not the new bro one, but I think it's the United Kaldari. Double check here. No, that's an actual player corporation. The top is the NPC. It is an NPC corporation, but not everybody joins that. It is the only once you've joined the faction warfare and you don't have a corporation that you join that NPC corporation. I could be wrong. Please, anybody, tell us in the show notes or anything. We're wrong. Similar to the Federal Defense Unit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Top alliances, we got the United Kaldari Space Command with 780. We got Fraternity Dot, that's funny, with 666.
They're on both sides of the war!
I know. Goonswarm Federation with 547. Pandemic Horde with 514. Tempest Calcif, 392. Federation University, 247. Brave Collective, 241. Ishak Enforcement Directive, Rattata, 197, Black Rabbit Dot, 182, and Weaponized Autism, nice name, 162.
So. Yeah, so, you know, comparatively to our alliances, they're, you know, sedition is way on top, but the rest of it is pretty, you know, Goonswarm, of course, and Fraternity are 0.0, Pandemic Horde are 0.0. A lot of ours, I feel like, our alliances are ones that are actually drenched in the blood of, being part of the Galente. Of course, we've got like Dock Workers and Razor's Alliance that made that top 10 alliances. But they've got some really heavy hitters that are on their side. Now, Fraternity playing both sides, it looks like they're not constricting their members down to one. But I know that Goonswarm Federation, I think, is like focused on you should be part of the Kaldari type kind of thing.
They were just talking about this on the meta show. The last couple episodes, they're talking about the Phoenix Navy issue is primarily the reason why they're doing it. If the Moros wasn't a piece of crap, then they probably would have come Galente. But given those two ships, you know, the Phoenix is just superior. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate. It is what it is, right? And I mean, that's okay. More people for us to shoot at. And I used to be part of Goonswarm. I like going to their parties and stuff like that. But I'm perfectly fine shooting Goonswarm. So I remember when I was part of Goonswarm, a lot of the, like, if you go to zero or if you go to low sec, like, you're on your own type kind of shit. Like, they were like, we don't like people fleet commanding in low sec. We don't understand the mechanics of low sec. Like, we don't want to deal with gate guns and all that shit that comes with low sec, no bubbles and stuff. So if you're gonna go play around there, you play around at your own risk type kind of thing. But it seems like they've warmed up to it quite a bit, because there's money to be made and Phoenix Navy issues to pump out very appreciated in 0.0. So
yeah.
And then we've got the top 10 ships that are being used by the Kaldari, and ha ha ha, the Excure Navy issue, top number one motherfucking used ship by the Kaldari. So thank you for using our ships and losing our ships and getting them blown up as well. And that's at 473. We've got the Osprey Navy issue at 364. So, you know, definitely a really great ship, you know, but the Exeter Navy issues is better, you know, yeah, it's better.
It just is.
And then we've the Gnosis, which, you know, if Gwen was participating in the last 7 days and myself, I think that you'd see the Gnosis possibly popping up a little bit higher and actually making the top 10 of the Galente. But very great ship, just very versatile battle cruiser. And the limited edition technically, but just everybody gets one like every once in a while, like especially like the anniversaries and stuff like that, they usually hand those things out to people. So very cheap ship actually, for a battle cruiser. Well designed, yeah. Beautiful ship.
Yeah, for what it can do, like, and it's a suitcase ship, it doesn't do anything perfectly, but it does a lot of things well, so yeah. You can
I like it for gate camping. I feel like it does gate camping perfectly, like it just you put so many sensor boosters on there.
Yeah, I got a couple of Gwen specials, so actually I just fitted them up yesterday. So they're actually sitting in your Vanguard.
And then, of course, people, you know, always dying, both sides, but still getting in on that kill mail. So we've got the, or did I say the Gnosis has 301 kills underneath it. The Capsule has 292 kills underneath its belt. And we explained that back at the, what that means. The Caracal, also a very fun ship. I like this ship. Mm-hmm. I use this ship quite a bit, actually, for long-range kiting. And, you know, when there's nano fleets kind of going on, you have that nice long range, but you still want to be able to tank a little bit, participate in long-range fights or be kind of a brawler up close, you know, put the hams on there. Or, you know, you can be a frigate killer by having rapid lights. Really just great ship overall. 278 kills. Kaldari Navy Hookbill, not as high on the list as, like, the Federation Navy Comet when it comes to the Galente, but this ship, fit right, can beat the living shit out of a Comet, I feel like. I feel like a lot of people say, oh, the Comet just is so much better, da-da-da-da-da. Mm. But if you put a dual web and then a tracking disruptor on this thing, like, the problem is the dual web. It just allows you to, you know, if the Federation Navy Comet is a blaster, you just move away from it. You know, you put rockets on it and you sit out at, like, 8 kilometers and you just pound away. If it's a railboat, you get in close and your rockets are still doing perfect damage and you just, you know, orbit at 500 meters and the tracking is a lot harder. And you can't fit really a dual web onto a... Fed Navy Comet. So I've definitely been able to beat a lot of Kaldari Navy Hookbills, and, you know, drugs and stuff like that can play a lot of play a lot with that, where I'm still losing sometimes, but I feel like, you know, overall I question whether I want to fight Kaldari Navy Hookbills anymore, because they're just, the dual web is really strong on them. So just, you know, might be converting over myself.
Yeah, unless I'm in a worm, I usually don't mess one-on-one with the hookbill.
The worm will just, yeah, punch. Yeah, which, you know, those got kicked out of Galente, or out of the faction warfare zone for the most part. Advances.
Yeah, well, for that one reason too, was that it just could punch so far above its belt that it just didn't make any sense. Like, there was no reason to try to go up against it in any other frigate. So.
Yep. And so a surprising appearance of a Tech 2 ship, actually, the Zealot. Normally you don't see the Tech 2 ships as being like a love fest for these kind of things. And the Zealot coming in at 200, the Kaldari Navy Hookbill had 275, the Zealot has 228. So this is not going into most plexes, so I'm guessing this is stuff that, like, they were fighting outside of plexes, or was being used in some kind of fleet doctrine somewhere. Something happened with using the Zealot somewhere that is not standard fighting area for the faction warfare zone. So, interesting. The State Destroyer. So, this is the first NPC ship. So, this is the one, of course, we've seen Smalls at 218. The Munin, another Tech 2 ship. So Zealot, Munin, normally seen more in 0.0. Could be people with enlisted, or doing 0.0 fights, or could be that there was a fight not happening inside of a Navy Plex, maybe an advanced Plex that was going on, or outside of Plexes, gates, stuff like that. But I have a feeling like this, just from seeing what the top systems are for them, where they've got R8S, ECTAC, 4U9, those are all 0.0 top systems. So I'm guessing that there is some fighting that happened with people that were enlisted, and or, you know, just with the Kaldari themselves being out there. And then, of course, the Condor, at 203, the Munin had 214, the Condor has 203 kills underneath its belt. Great little frigate. So this is a T1 frigate, not even Navy or anything. Great ship to go around and fuck with people. Great E-War, long range, kitey. You can also fit them to be a little brawly too, so that's kind of cool. So I think what we're going to do is, I was going to go through each one of the systems here, but we're actually almost already an hour into the episode here, so I don't want to draw this out really long. So I was going to go into each system. We were going to talk about the top 10 killers, you know, for corporations, characters, alliances and stuff, but I think what I'm going to do is just kind of jump through them really quick and just go over the top stats that have kind of been here and see if there's any kind of cool kills that happened in any of these systems. But let's just kind of look through these real quick. So the first one we're looking at here is Eha. So Eha has 301 different characters that have participated in PvP, either lost something or killed something in the last 7 days, 110 corporations, 43 alliances, 148 different types of ships that have fought here, and has a total of 395 kills in the last 7 days. Eha, definitely a system that, you know, has some good fighting. It's hard to flip this one. I think we talked about it being at the very low percentages of being flipped. And I'm not seeing any major outliers here. Of course, the Osprey Navy issue and the Expiron Navy issue battling very strongly for the number one PvP ship in the system. 40 kills right now is what I have. Yep, and you have the same here. It's 40 kills for the Osprey, 39 kills for the Expiron Navy issue. But I also don't see anything really crazy here. There looks like there was a Legion that went down, an Orthus that went down, a Draugr that went down, a Tengu and a Stratios. Nothing that makes me go, oh, what the hell happened here? So, pretty standard ships participating in PvP in this area. So let's move on to OICX. Is there anything crazy that happened here? So, taking a look here, looks like OICX has 532 characters, 199 corporations, 76 alliances, 168 different ships, with a total of 681 kills that have happened there. It does look like GM Wolfgang had got blown up here in that Varger. You want to take a look at that Varger here real quick? So this is CCP. This is one of the GMs. Brought a Varger into here, and it looks like United Kaldari Space Command. So it looks like the Kaldari. Oh, it looks Sedition Killmailed Horde, as well as dock workers, got in on a killmail whore here, so that they were able to show that, you know, the Galente were able to get in on this kill, but they didn't do any damage. I don't know if they had original tackle or something like that. That might have been the reason why they were there, but always killmail whore if you can. That's what I say. So
that's what GM Week is all about.
And so let's take a look here. But yeah, that looks like the only one that is a big, big weird outlier there. Standard is a Proteus, a Vedmac. Actually, let's look at this Kaldari Navy hook bill real quick. Quake. So I know Quake really well. Not really well. Like, I fought with him a lot and fought with him and against him, depending on the situations here. But he had a 716 million ISK Kaldari Navy hook bill.
No, that's just a drop.
Yeah, look at that. And it's all 90% drop week, or not week, but month or whatever. So 716 of that dropped. That was somebody in Sedition flying a Catalyst Navy issue. A Catalyst Navy issue, I would not imagine being really good for taking down this ship, because it's got a web, it's got a scram, long range web, with it being a Republic fleet webifier. So if this was blaster fit, which it was, that hookbill should have been able to sit out at 8 kilometers and not really worry. So I'm interested to see. I don't know what it was, Purslin?
No.
Did I say that right? Yeah, Purslin from Sedition of.
Looks like inside a small plex too. So.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely looks. Yeah, because there's a Federation, the goddamn Federation destroyer getting a killmail whore in on there. Did 187 of the damage. That must have been what tipped the scales. That's interesting. Looks like the big one here, the two big money drops here were The Dread, so it had Dread Garisto light missile launchers, three of them, for 211 million for those three. The Republic Fleet Warp Disruptor was at 138 million. The Republic Fleet Stasis Webifier at 140 million. The rest of it, you know, the A-type, 5MN, Michael, ooh, that's what it was. That's what happened here. This, I bet you that the Catalyst Navy issue had, I didn't see that was a micro warp drive. I bet you the Catalyst Navy issue had an afterburner sitting at zero. It got the web and scram on it before, or even just a scram would have been fine probably in this case. Just scramming this thing would drastically reduce the speed that this would be at. If you had a web and a scram, which a blaster ship is more than likely going to have, yeah, this ship goes down way hard. It can't kite. And if they were overheating and, or, you know, so this one is going to try and kite. It's going to overheat its web. It's going to overheat its scram, probably. It's going to sit at a nice distance because these are light missile launchers. So, yeah, this thing is going to try and sit out at 15, 20, 30 kilometers, depending on drugs and other things that you can do here. But my guess would be it came into the Plex, tried to get away, and somehow, some way, this destroyer was able to get a lock, web, and scram before it could get away from it. That's what I can imagine that would happen here.
No, sounds very plausible.
So that's a weird, interesting kill. So let's move on, though. Aldrinetti. So Aldrinetti is getting a lot of action these days. We've got 868 characters that are participating in fighting that's going on here, and 1,313 kills. Some really great fighting that's been happening in this area. GM in a Vindicator, GM Balder. Oh yeah, yeah. Like Baldur's Gate, dumbass. My brain, sorry, like I'm still recovering from last night. So GM Balder in a Vindicator, 1.9 billion ISK. That looks kind of sexy. Looks like that was brought down primarily by Sedition. So, you know, really feeding that out there to different, you know, making sure Sedition gets a little bit, the Kaldari get a little bit, you know. And nothing really else that's here that kind of makes me go, oh, what's this 4.3 billion ISK pod? So snuffed out. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Snuffed out, lost a 4.2 billion ISK pod to Sedition. Yeah, that's high grade Nirvanas, looks like, and had the high grade Navy Omega, or Nirvana Omega. Yeah, that's a sexy fucking pod. And got caught by guns, it looks like. So this wasn't smart bomb. So a lot of these you see a smart bomb involved in this. This was in Vivalier, so this was no bubble or anything. So looks like Toron were just fucked up. Like, that's a fuck up on their part. Like, you should be spamming get the fuck out if you're in a 4.2 billion ISK pod when you're in a ship that goes down. And if you're not doing that, you're fucked. It was also related to a Kaldari shuttle. So he was in a shuttle. Oh, this is spelling AFK all over the place. So first of all, a shuttle got caught by a Thrasher fleet issue. Not possible if you know, being piloted by somebody and snuffed out. Like, that's, if they were at their computer, they should not have lost this shuttle. It happened on a Stargate, the Vivalier Stargate. So I'm sorry, this happened inside of Aldrinetti. When I said Vivalier earlier, it was on the Vivalier Stargate. So somebody was autopiloting with a 4 point some odd billion ISK pod, or something like that was going on. Somebody fucked up royally. That should not have happened. That's, well, you know, best of luck to you, Snuffed. You need every little advantage you can get, so understand. Let's move on. So Nenamelia,
I just want to point out to that Killer Rasta, for his, that's his, the second time he was the top killer in Warzone here in EHA. So
yeah, Killer Rasta is out there fucking.
Yeah, he's putting some work, man.
Lots of props to Killer Rasta. Yeah, Sedition always out there working their ass off, man. They're huge. They just get those like 50-man fleets and stuff like that. That it's really hard for any other group to really be able to pull off the numbers that they're able to pull off. Some good FCs as well.
And here's a nice kill here in Animalia. So you've got your Phoenix Navy issue, your 14 bill Phoenix Navy issue, and a 5 bill pod.
Is that the same person flying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like, let me double check here, but the related, yep, is the Phoenix. So that's 20 billion, you know, give or take, ISK that went down in one foul swoop there. There's also the Moros Navy issue that was worth 17.2 billion ISK. So this is some crazy shit that's going on. So these are not faction warfare stuff. This is looks like Sedition brought down the Moros Navy issue, not surprising. And the Phoenix Navy issue was brought down by Deepwater Hooligans, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something, let's see here. It was happened at the Star? Okay, that's a little bit question marky. iHub, maybe I could see for, I don't know why they'd be hanging out. But I thought for sure this was going to be a movie. I thought this was going to be, you know, something that happened.
Yeah, this high-grade pod. Oh, high-grade Hydra Omega $1.2 billion implant. Yikes. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But when you're flying a Phoenix, that's what you're going to have. So.
Oh, fuck yeah, man, of course. So yeah, Nenamelia's got 609 different characters that have participated in PvP. 488 kills. So lots, and that's just in 7 days. So let's move over to Onasekan. Onasekan keeping things up and active there. 521 characters that have participated in PvP. 493 kills. Nothing really special out there. An Ikatursa, you know, you can sell the Ikatursa casino screens, get 42 billion is, but this ship by itself is only 1.4. And a little sexy, but you know, it's got a little sexy on it. Federation Navy, Wet Scram, Blood Raiders, they're a Dark Blood Scrambler, and a C-type 50 mm micro warp drive, a C-type medium armor repairer, multi-spectrum, another multi-spectrum Navy, the Imperial Navy, and then yeah, C-type medium armor upper. Nothing crazy, but still a little sexy, you know.
It's a nice ship. Yeah, nice ship. Tried.
Oh, here we go. This is a weird one. The Keldari Navy Hookbill at 1.15 billion ISK. That's interesting. So this is okay. So this one has an afterburner on it. Oh, I see what happened here. I see what happened. ICX. And so this happened in Onasekan. It looked like this happened possibly at so Onasekan is owned by the Keldari, right? So because what I'm guessing is that this happened at a medium advanced plex. That would be my, that would be my guess. And, yeah, let's see. So Onasekan is owned by the Keldari. Here we go. And, you can see, so my guess is what they went into in a medium advanced plex. They were not expecting to have whatever this kill is here. So this pod is actually a ship. So it had Warrior 2s. Let me see if I can look at this guy's pod here real quick. Just kind of go back and look at what ship did he lose recently. So it looks like this guy flies an Imperial Navy Slicer. or a Federation Navy Comet. My guess is what happened here is that he caught them. Let me just take a look at related here real quick. Okay, so it looks like he was in either a Federation Navy Comet, which makes sense with the drones being on that. So yeah, he was on a Federation Navy Comet. And then he also had this Hugin on the inside. So the Hugin was able to web down this Kaldari Navy hook build. This hook build, you know, normally with this kind of firepower and setup, should have been able to easily take down that, Abyssal. Ooh, these, we don't even know how expensive this was, because these are Abyssal ballistic controls. These could be $1 billion each, you know, or
he's full of Abyssals. I mean, that $1 billion price tag is on the Pith Type A multi-spectrum
Crisis,
hardware.
Just one.
So that's one thing. So you've got another.
This is probably
one MN. Yeah. Everything else, depending on the rolls. I mean, those things are.
And what they used as the base. So I mean, these could be Pithy A type. You know, whatever, you know, like an A-type afterburner and, like, you know, faction webs and strands and the shield. So all of that, or even officer, like once you've abyssaled them, nobody knows until you get the item and you can look at it actually, but Z-Kill is not going to tell you what it's actually worth.
But he's got 6 abyssal modules on this ship too.
Man,
so I put the price tag on this probably closer to, 1.7? Bill.
So looks like Cavalier is saying Marcus says it's the cost but would have made it himself, so just the loss of time to me.
True.
Time is money, and if you can sell something for 5 billionists, then it's worth 5 billionists, even if you made it yourself. It's the old argument, right? Of I mined it, so it's free. It's like, no, you could have sold it, so it wasn't free. It took you time, and time is very easily equated to money. Everybody does isk per hour these days, for sure. So let's see here. I think that's the stuff that was really impressive there. Let's take a look over at Fleet. So lots of good fighting happening in Fleet. Some pretty high numbers here. 730 different characters participating in PvP. Holy shit. I was just looking at the pods that have been blown up here recently.
All right.
Also 858 kills in the last 7 days. That's pretty impressive. But it looks like GM Chaos lost a 3 billionist pod, and he was inside of an Incursus. So the Incursus was worth 62 million isk. This is the T1 frigate. He stacked up on that thing. GM Chaos causing chaos out there. That's a pretty sexy pod, but nothing dropped, of course. And then their GM Lionheart in Belgorn, 1.4 billion is kill. Oh, he also had a Hurricane, Deathglow Remnant, and an Augur Combat Medic skin dropped, yeah.
Is Fido and Cardo and Cargo? Gotta have a Fido. Fido?
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, Fido. Lots of really good sexy stuff happening in Fleet. Definitely check it on out there. So let's move on to Devon here, right next to Fleet. Another place with lots of characters, lots of people killing each other. We've got
Redeemer.
Oh yeah, a couple redeem lot. Ooh, almost Redeemer bingo. Sexy. So let's take a look what happened there real quick. So I'm going to just look at the shit related that, you know, battle report that it can build here and take a guess. But it looks like scary wormhole people dropped a bunch of redeemers, a lot of redeemers, and got counter dropped by tempests and Armageddons from, so Sons of Bane, scary wormhole people seem to went at each other. Scary wormhole people also lost a lot of a lot of redeemers, a lot more than even what's on that board. Like, this is a lot. Let's take a look here. So it looks like they lost 10 redeemers. Not all scary wormhole people. Looks like low key ops and scary wormholes people and know nothing got into some kind of crazy battle out there. All in all, it was, for a coalition of many different things, but primary, it looks like it was led by bigger ships were owned by, Sedition was involved in this. This might have been a three-way kind of thing that was going on. I think I heard about this, actually, on Sedition's YouTube. I'm starting to remember a thing where they talked about a bunch of Redeemers getting murdered recently. So that was about 5 billion ISK on this, the A team, which is like Sedition and Sons of Bane. And the other side of the coin was a total of 31 billion ISK in damage. That's a lot of shit getting blown up. That's mostly from, it looks like a little bit of Kaldari were involved in that, Karma Fleet University, but mainly scary wormhole people and know nothings and the low-key thing. Yeah, low-key ops. So, yeah, weird. That's a crazy fight that happened. Get your ass over to Devon if you want to see some crazy-ass fights, for sure. But they have 665 characters, and it looks like 874 kills there. So yeah, let's go ahead and move over to Sugerento. So Sugerento, more up in this area. Let's see, any cool things. Stranglehold, how's it going, man? Good stuff here. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's good. Just trying to, talk about what's going on in the war zone here. We get a little intel feed, I love these episodes. These are some of our actually more popular episodes, are doing war zone breakdowns. People really want to hear about what the fuck's going on out there in the galaxy, especially when it comes to faction warfare. So Sugerento, we've got 716 different characters, 910 kills. I think that's like the highest we've had so far by a long shot, actually.
Yeah.
Aldrinetti at 1,317. So that's second place. Yeah, we could have looked at really probably. So Sugerento, though, 1,000, there's a lot of pirate activity here. Sorry, it has 910 kills, but nothing crazy sexy. A Macarial kill, that's kind of sexy. 2.7 billion, basically 2.6 billion. Looks like it got brought down by a bunch of Kikis. Interesting. Belonging to a person in the Center of Advanced Studies. So I think that's the Kaldari NPC Corporation. The newbie Corporation. He did have some sexy stuff on him, though. He had a 500 MN Gisty X-Type. You go into the and the Macarial kill, actually. It'll, it's got some Kindred gyro stabilizers. Like, what the fuck is this thing? It's PvE, or sorry, PvP fit. It's got a Republic Fleet Disruptor on there and Web Grappler, so... I'm gonna just check related here real quick, see if this is part of a bigger engagement, or this might have possibly been smaller. It's hard to tell. Might have been something where the Goonswarm tried to bring in a bunch of Navy Augurs, looks like. Possibly, but that's taking like the last 2 hours of the system. In any case, yeah, this is interesting. Little grab there for looks like the Pirate Lords of War. That's a fucking awesome name. They were able to bring in a Kiki fleet, just fucking knock this guy down. This was on the Arenako Stargate. So interesting. Cool. Last but not least, unless you see anything else you want to talk about, you're looking at the Widow.
Yeah, Nick Sayan, he put a ping out about 2 hours ago, which is when he lost this Widow. So this is part of a kind of a planned fight, I think, that was going to occur, and I was going to jump into it, but I got pulled up in other stuff, and I want to get ready for this podcast, so I didn't actually take part.
Oh, wow. Yeah, let me take a look at that related here real quick and just see if maybe... So it looks like Shadow Cartel brought a bunch of Harbingers. They also had Expert Navy issues, a bunch of Augur Navy issues from Pirate Lords of War. It's possible that that was all part of this going on here. So what happened, or who killed? Back from related here. But other than that, yeah, it was Noir and the Network. Or Hungry, sorry, in the Network, and Noir, of course. So the Network all generally.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be an off-contract something against Innit, but I'm not sure. Like I said,
it looks like Shadow
didn't make it into that off, so.
Out of the Deep. Yeah, not a lot on that kill, actually. Just a little bit of Shadow Cartel. Some randos, looks like, almost interesting. And then last but not least, although in the lower numbered of kills here, it's Anato. Anato doesn't look like there's anything really crazy. There's a billionist pod. That's kind of interesting. So that was a mid-grade amulet set. Got blown up here. Oh, smart bombed. Ouch. Related kill, shuttle. Oh, somebody was shuttling around a really expensive... really expensive pod. It got blown up on probably on a gate.
That was a slaver from the Amar Empire.
Yep, on the Sugerento gate. Be really careful. That is one of the systems, Anato, Sugerento. I know those places have a lot where I've seen people set up smart bombing camps, which very effective at wiping out a lot of ISK in this game. There was a billionist Raven. That looks PvE fit. I mean, it could be PvP, but... this is... I mean, maybe super bait, but you're not holding anybody on the field. So...
oh, this was just recent.
It is Goon Swarm, so it's not like it was some idiot... well, you never know. But, you know, it wasn't just somebody in a newbie corp that spent a bunch of money... out of game money and turned it into ISK. Came out to 0.0 thinking, I will kill with my Kaldari Navy cruise missile launcher. interesting. Yeah, just basically what? Two Excure Navy issues. Something else that had like a scourge. So this has got to be an event site, right? That's...
yeah, it's probably. I wonder if that was, he was doing Crimson Harvest or something. That makes sense. Yep.
Crimson Harvest would make sense, even though I wouldn't use this ship for Crimson Harvest, but you know, interesting. Because yeah, Scourge missiles did 71,000 of the damage to this, but it's unknown. So I would think that that would be like an event site or something, somewhere special that he was for sure. This wasn't faction warfare.
Nope.
Interesting. Awesome. Our boy,
our boy Sully lost to one of his pods. What's he doing? The big killer of the system.
What's the related on that one?
He's in a comet.
No, because that one doesn't have any the pod that went down at that time. It's not the same one. Go back and go into the actual kill. And then if you look at related Cormorant Navy issue. Nope, not that related. That'll give you the... Sorry, there is two related there, but the related that's on the character sheet right there. Says Sully. So it's Galente Federation ship capsule related Kaldari Navy issue. So that related there is what ship he was flying. That's a pretty sexy ship. Not too expensive though. Blaster Cormorant. Ancillary, that's pretty nice, yeah. But yeah, so I think that'll kind of wrap us on up here. And so thank you all for joining us and listening. Definitely tune in, you know, more, and we'll be doing, you know, a pretty big update. We're going to be going into Season 3. We're technically over Season 3. And this is the hat that I got from Keurig, by the way. Elaborate more on that, but Season 3 technically is already supposed to be up, but I want to do some, before I call it Season 3, I want to do some pretty big changes. You know, we're going to be a little bit more of a piratey kind of podcast here, you know, pirate radio station type kind of stuff that we're going to try and play around with a little bit, maybe play around with the opening a little bit, the endings and stuff, have some fun times going. I am not going to pirate FW. I wish we're going to report on the faction warfare, definitely the fight that we're having going on with the Garistas, and then I'm going to get an alt into the Angels, but I'm probably not going to spend a lot of time doing stuff for the enemy or for the pirates, but playing against them, absolutely. I am very, very, very tempted to go over to like the Garistas or the Angels as Frozen Fallout, and really just dedicate my time and corporation and stuff like that into the new Angel content. Very, very, you know, we just did this rebranding to the Federation Frontline Report, so it's not quite angel-y, you know. It's very, very Galente kind of feel to it. So but we are a bunch of pirates. Like, that is definitely you know, what we brand ourselves as in the Federation Frontline Report here. We are pirates. Like, we are privateers. We work for the Galente to murder on their behalf. We work for the network to murder on their behalf. But at our heart and soul, we're just a bunch of pirates that are trying to fucking kill stuff. And so that's how this all got together. That's in, you know, the radio station was made, the broadcast, this podcast that we're doing here is our, you know, pirated radio station that we created to like tell about what the fuck's going on in the war zone, all the chaos. And you know, talk to really cool people and stuff like that. So I want to mess around with that. We'll see what Season 3 can bring. But definitely also check out Declarations of War. Really great podcast. It's you know, run by Noir, and talks about the mercenary stuff that they do, as well as has guests and just what's going on in EVE in general. And just a really great podcast to check out. And you know, check out our website, federationfrontlinereport.com, and you can see, you know, we've got our YouTube channel up there, the podcast, the Twitch channel that we have on there. We're going to be playing around with that more. We also have on May 4th, 2024, we're going to have a Madison meetup. So we're going to be hanging out at the IO bar, and we've got flyers and stuff for that. If you're interested in that, you can always join our Discord. We have a channel that is going to be dedicated to that. So, you know, if you're interested in coming and you want to see what's going on or where we're at, what's going on, you know, hit up that Discord. As we get closer, I'm sure we'll have more activity there. We were able to get, you know, a decent amount, like 10, 20 people or something like that, the first go round that we did. I don't think we actually got to 20, but you include all my buddies that came that, you know, have played a lot of EVE, but aren't really playing much anymore. We had a really decent amount of people, but Alec came up. This time around, we're going to get Night Flyer. I know it, man.
Absolutely. Yep. Already got the time off work.
There's lots of changes that are coming to the game. I'm definitely going to be adding a little bit of segment, I think, in Season 3 about the first-person shooter, Vanguard. You know, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how that's going along and how the beta is happening and stuff, as depending on what NDA or whatever setting part of the beta. Especially when it comes out, you know, maybe we'll do a short Season 3. We'll have a Season 4 that'll already have, or just at some point add into Season 3 the report that's happening and what's going on in Vanguard. So we're super excited about that. Pirate PvP, or Pirate Faction Warfare is coming, so we're going to be talking a lot about that. That's also where I'm probably going to wait until Pirate Faction Warfare comes out before we do Season 3. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. Thanks for co-hosting, Night Flyer. Have a great night.
My pleasure. Have a great night, everybody.